What are your qualifications? Now, qualifications are something that are pretty important to us. If you go to the dentist's office, it's good for you to be able to look on the wall and see the diplomas and the degrees hanging there so that you know it's not just some random person who's about to work on your teeth. Or now it's tax season, and some of us might have to take our taxes to a tax professional. And then it's good to know that the person who's working on your taxes is more qualified than you are to be doing them. So what are you uniquely qualified for? Maybe you're trying to think of something unique to you, and I can tell you of one such thing. It's identified for us in our text today from 1 Peter chapter 2, where God tells us that each one of you are His priests, qualified members of His holy priesthood. Now, that might be a role that you don't feel exactly qualified for. Maybe you feel unworthy of it, especially as you see your own sins. And you recognize that you don't quite know Scripture as well as you ought to, so you don't feel comfortable talking to friends or coworkers about it. Or when you look at the deep blackness in your own heart, and you feel like quite a hypocrite if you were to be sharing God's Word with others. And that's something that many of us struggle with. Yet as we learn from 1 Peter chapter 2, God tells you that you are without a doubt members of His holy priesthood. So we'll be reading selected verses from that chapter. As you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. For you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So you are qualified members of God's holy priesthood, and the number one reason why is because, as our text said, you are built on the rock. Now, the first time anywhere in Scripture that God is referred to as a rock is in Deuteronomy 32. In that chapter, most of it is a song by Moses. And in this song of Moses, he teaches Israel about God. He calls God the rock. And he wants Israel to keep this on the forefront of their minds as they're about to cross into the Promised Land and to teach it to their children so that they would remain founded on that rock in future generations. He's saying, "The rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity, just and upright is He." And he also included warnings about the Israel of old. The Israel of old that knew that God was the rock, and yet they had left that living rock for dead rocks, false gods of the heathen. And then Moses concludes his song by saying, "Take heart to all the words by which I am warning you today, for it is no empty word for you, but your very life." Yet, in spite of these warnings, after several hundred years, Israel once again left the rock. It was so that when Jesus came, He came to a people that were no longer founded on the rock of the Messiah who was coming, but rather, they tried to pave their own foundation, to pave their own foundation with their works. And it was all solely focused on the temple and the priesthood and the Old Testament ceremonial laws and the sacrifices of goats and bulls and lambs and turtle doves and things of that nature. It was sad because they had lost focus. That all of those things were supposed to be shadows of the Christ who would come, and once He had come, manifested as the rock in the flesh, what did they do? They cast Him aside and plotted against Him and put Him to death. Now, it had always been in God's plans to put an end to the temple and the priesthood and the Old Testament sacrifices. Jesus spoke about this to the woman at the well in Samaria when He said, "The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. So after God used the Roman army to come in 70 AD and wipe out the temple and effectively wipe out the Old Testament priesthood, He had a void. And what was there to fill that void? Well, the answer is you. As our text tells us, you are now the priests and you are the temple. Verse 5 says, "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood." So Christ had just been described earlier as a living stone. A living stone because after He died on Good Friday for your sins, He rose again to life. And now, Jesus says in John 14, "Because I live, you also will live." So you, as living stones, are building the temple of God, and you also, like living stones, are serving as His priests, built on Christ's foundation. What a blessing it is that God has built us on that foundation of Christ alone, because as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock." So when the floods of your life come, and the torrents of rejection and shame from unbelievers come at you, when your own feeling of unworthiness or being unqualified threatens to drown you, you can stand firm on the rock. And because God has founded you on that rock of Christ alone, in Him, you will abide to the end. And as we remain until the end, we are told to proclaim the excellencies of Christ. In other words, to share that word of God with others. And yet maybe you still don't feel qualified. Maybe you still don't feel unworthy as you look at your sins, as you see your hypocritical nature, as you recognize that you just oftentimes don't know what to say when people ask you. Well, let's look at the last few verses. "He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." There's no one more qualified than you to share the mercy of God. You who have experienced that mercy firsthand. You who were once lost, and now in Christ you are found. You who once were dead in your trespasses and sins, and now you are alive together with Christ. Who better to share that message than you? We'll close our service this morning by singing hymn 645, verses 1 and 5. 645, 1 and 5.